Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful week so far. Before we start, give us a review, give us a subscribe, give us a follow, whatever you're listening or watching on. I'd love it. It keeps the podcast going. Podcast time. One and only Shaq. Shaq came on the scene 2022 with one of the biggest records moving all around of the year. Had some amazing success. And then last year, 2023, carried on having that success, but also came up quite a lot of hate and kind of really disrespect in the industry and outside the industry, because he's just pushing the needle forward and a lot of people didn't like it. So I wanted to get him on the podcast and talk about it. I love this dude. He's one of the nicest, one of the most positive people in the industry, and I just love what he's about. So thought I would get him on the podcast and chat life. He's been on before. A lot of people loved the episode. A lot of great feedback from it. So it's great having him back. So without further ado, Shaq. Mr. Shaq, what is cooking, man?
My man, Will. Been a while, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good, man. Really good. Last time I saw you was at a warehouse project last year.
Yeah, mate. Oh, mate, it was an unbelievable night. I think it's borderline, it's like joint first for my favorite ever set alongside Creamfields.
Really?
Wells Project's a special venue. Like, it's I've actually just voted it today because the BBC's doing it. Have you seen Radio 1's doing like a voting for like for record labels, for events and clubs and stuff?
Oh, really?
I've actually just, yeah, I just voted Wells Project actually for that one. So
I didn't know that. No, I haven't. I'll be fair, like, I really struggle to make time to listen to the radio at this moment in time, unless like I'm listening on like a Friday night. Like it's really tough. How often are you like consuming electronic music on a daily basis that's not yours?
Every day, mate, because I'm always tune hunting.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always looking for tunes, mate, so every single day. There will be times where I just don't want to listen to music at all, but like for the most part, every day, mate, just crate digging, as the oldies call it.
So last time we spoke, Moving All Around had not long been out, and it had kind of done well. It turned into a hit by the time we spoke.
Yeah.
And you were just about to start releasing some more records. And I kind of want to just get into, first of all, like, I think people talk about this in the industry a lot, is when you've had your first big record, and the pressures of what's happening after that first big record. I really want to get into that. because I've spoken to many people on here and I don't think they're necessarily always truthful of how they actually feel about the pressures afterwards. And for me is how do you cope with the pressures of what's coming next and then after the next one and then after the next one? And is it a case of always comparing from the first big record, or how's your mental process with that?
I was in a very good position because Ben Hemsley told me that don't release any music until you've got at least 8 lined up.
Yeah.
I've got, mate, I'm sitting on so many tunes. So I never felt under pressure because I already had a catalogue of music ready to go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So now I know exactly what you're talking about. Now there's an artist who remain unnamed who spoke to me recently who said exactly what you're saying. They were like, I don't know how to follow up from this tune. Now, one thing I'm really, really grateful for is that I've had great mentors in my life, mate, and I've been given some great advice, so I prepared myself, mate. The only downside to my situation was is I didn't release enough, mate. I've had music, mate, that I'm sitting on, but you know how it works. There's so many, there's so much red tape.
Yeah.
So many things you've got to go through, mate. So I got held up a little bit last year, so I'm having to start again because all the momentum that I got from moving, because I didn't follow up anything, not that it was out of my control, mate. They're all written, the songs.
Yeah.
It's more a fact of the red tape and...
So let's explain that. Like, what is the red tape that you've gone through to kind of get to the point where you're at? Like, because there's a lot of people listening that would be like, what red tape? I don't understand why. So can we, like, go... deeper into that?
All right, so when you write a song, especially if you've got samples in it, first of all, you've got to go and get sample clearance. So that can take X amount of months. Yep. If you're lucky, a couple of weeks, right? Then you can get denied sample clearance, and then you've got to go for a cover. A cover, for those who don't know what it is, basically, if Will wanted to do a song and he used a sample and the person said no, so then he asks me, Shaq, can you sing this for us? Not that I can sing, but that's essentially what it is. And then I would do the song.
Yeah.
However, the problem that you get is, which I find, which I'm sure you know, is you get demo-itis. So when you've heard a tune a certain number of times, you can't hear another way. And then on top of that, it's trying to find a vocalist who can match the frequency and sonically sound the way you wanted it to sound in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very, very arduous process. So you've got that. Then you've got disagreements with labels and they say, oh, we think you should do this, you should do that. Then you've got release schedule. Can you fit it in here? Can you fit it in there? And if it's a collaboration with other people, then you've got to fit into their release schedule. So it's just it can be an absolute nightmare. So that's the situation I had myself in. So
it can be such a long process and it can be so tedious, especially when you're just kind of like trying to work out what's next and kind of trying to plan your touring and everything. And I think a lot of artists don't realize is like how hard it is to kind of get into that side of the industry. And that's why so many people start their own record labels, because it's then you can control your own release schedule and you can release around touring and you can release whenever you kind of around the summer or like big events and things like that on what you need to.
Absolutely.
It's a tough one, but I guess so. We're now in 2024. Moving all around October 2022, you've had a few releases since. Mm-hmm. You've had two, and now the new single, Got No Money, is out now.
Mm-hmm.
But you've had Inferno and Mum Used to Say. I know Mum Used to Say was like a big one for you personally. How are you feeling at this moment in time with where you're at in your career musically?
Well, it's a very, very interesting question, because last year, mate, was a very, very, very big learning curve of being on a massive journey within and learning my trade. Now, you know, you have to remember, like, I only started touring at the end of 22.
Yeah.
So, like, last year I was... I was experimenting and stuff like that. I've always got lots of music written, but every time you DJ, mate, you're always learning more because different cities, different countries, people react differently, right?
Yeah.
So, because it was my first year, my rookie year of touring, the way I work is when you look at music, right, music composition, the whole point of music composition is to create tension and relieve it,
yeah,
right? Like if I was to jump on my piano here and I showed you a chord progression, you create tension and then you resolve it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I like to apply, I observe people when they play music and I like to create like massive peaks and troughs because again, it's that same, you're creating tension,
yeah,
and then you're relieving it. And when you have composition or structures of a song that are diametrically opposed to each other, you can create some beautiful energy.
Yeah.
So I really pushed the boat out far. And I remember like when I was in Hideout, I just tried something new. The only way you're going to find out something works is by testing it. Mm. So I tested a couple of things and I got absolutely chastised for it. And I was just like, fucking what the fuck?
Can we go into that? I want to dig deeper into that because I think it's really interesting. So explain what happened.
Okay, so basically, it was my first set at Hideout. I pretty much opened to nobody. When I went on, there was nobody there except a couple of lads on the balcony from back home and had a Newcastle flag.
Yeah.
They were there all my set, and obviously it slowly built up and filled up. Now, I played a set which, and even the people at Hideout who were filming with us after the set, that set was mint. It was very unconventional. And Patrick even said to us, he was like, you're the only person who got to pull that off. Because I like to play it differently to the people and I'm experimenting. I like to mix vocals with drops that are just out of nowhere because of my own experience as a raver. When I used to go all over the world at festivals, right? I love being surprised.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't like predictability. So what happened is where the abuse started and where I got denigrated was Hideout put a clip up of a portion of my set, right? And what I did is I used Wonderwall by Oasis, right? And then what I did is I've played that and it builds up. It's so the original tempo of the song, I think it's like 100 BPM or something. And I've built it all the way up to a hard techno drop, which is like 145,
yeah,
right? So I'm bringing everybody all the way down and then I'm taking them all the way up, right? But what someone did is they took the clip without showing the drop.
Yeah.
Which is totally you're taking it totally out of context. That is the epitome of taking it out of context.
Yeah.
You haven't shown the full story. It's kind of like, you know, on the news where people, they'll take a clip of what you've said without showing what you've actually said, and then it gets turned into something else.
Yeah.
So then I had thousands of people jumping on the bandwagon telling us to kill myself. Jesus. I had, you know, established DJs who I'm not going to name who were giving us abuse. And I'm just like, what the fuck's going on? Do you know what I mean? And for me, mate, because of my journey and where I've come from, you know, my initial reaction was like pugilistic, you know.
Of course.
But then I've sat back and then I've thought about it and I've it brought up lots of emotions from my past and my childhood. Mm-hmm. And the way I observe things, Will, is I never take things at face value. I look at the deeper meaning. So I'm looking like, what am I learning from this? And I'm not just talking musically. I'm talking spiritually on my development as a person.
Totally.
And what am I learning? Yeah, because it brought up feelings from my childhood that I thought I had addressed and I hadn't. And the thing is, what made me sad, the thing that made us sad the most was, as artists, right, we are supposed to bring love and light into the world and unify people. The world's already fucked up enough as it is without people adding the two cents in. And, like, I had a conversation with a certain person. I said, like, look, like, in the duration of our phone call, how many people do you think have been executed?
Yeah.
How many people do you think are dying of malnutrition, lack of water, basic human needs, and you're complaining to me about this? I says, do you know what it is? It's called first world problems. I went, it's ridiculous. I went, as artists, we're supposed to make the world better, not worse. Do you know what I mean? So
totally
I was just
agree.
Like, so I was just like, I was just, I was just proper disappointed at that. And I said, and I was like, I say, mate, I was just testing. I was just trying to do something new. And like I say, mate, can you remember? A lot of people forget about this, right? But can you, in no means am I comparing, right? Can you remember when Avicii came out with Ultra in 2015 and he played a very different set that everybody thought he came out with? Yeah, hey, yeah. Brother, and stuff like that. And everyone was like, you've burned your career, you're shit and all that stuff, fucking go and retire. And it's like, and then a couple of months later, everyone was like, loving his music.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to try something new. So I was just like, I'm gonna try this. Do you know what I mean? And the thing is with music, Will, if everybody liked the same music, if everybody liked the same thing, then it'd be a very boring world. We have subjectiveness for a reason, music subjective. And if you're criticizing me because of the way I play, then do you want me to play exactly like you do? Because then the world's just gonna be boring, right? So
yeah.
So that's the basic, that's what it was, mate, as I got chastised for that. I think
I remember messaging you the day after it happened or something like that, just kind of checking in because it was really weird to me, if I'm honest. We're all allowed our own opinions, which I think we should all be allowed our own opinions. And we can all have our thoughts and feelings, but I feel like, especially in this day and age, it's like, why talk about those thoughts and feelings online when that certain person can hear? Like, if everybody that had an issue with that just messaged you personally, was like, mate, what the fuck were you doing? If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think that comes off slightly differently. I think that comes off a little bit more respectful. But I think what happens is when somebody comes in on a public front and completely takes everything out of context at the expense of somebody else's, they don't realize the power of what that can do.
And, of course.
And the power of, like, that literally could have ended your career in a sense of if you weren't mentally strong enough to cope through that, you would have...
Absolutely.
There would have been a lot of artists that would have quit that, on that day.
Yeah.
And we're in a world where we need more artists. We're not in a world where we need less artists. We're in a world where we need more artists helping each other out. Like, you don't have to like your mate's music. You don't have to like your peer's music. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, if you're willing to talk shit on somebody else's career, your career better be fucking perfect. And every record you release better be fucking perfect. And I can guarantee you there's not a single person out there that has that. So I just find it very, very contradicting. And like, it's sad that you had to kind of get through that. However, on the plus side, there's a huge amount of mental growth for anybody going through that.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, mate. Going back to what I was alluding to before about the fact that I look at the bigger value, what did I gain from it? And I love what you said there about, like, about their career better be perfect. I was listening to something the other day and it was like, you know, some people online now, because of the internet, people can just, they'll just go out there and say whatever they want, right? Yeah. But these people act as if they don't have skeletons in the closet. Exactly. It's just like yours, people don't know about your shit,
yeah.
But yet you're sitting on your pedestal and you're abusing somebody else, but yet you've got skeletons in your closet that if they came out, your world would be turned upside down. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
So it's like, it's just whatever. But like I say, mate, I grew a lot from it and I learned from it. And mate, I've said this multiple times, trauma can be your greatest teacher if you allow it to be. It can be a gift. And I think a lot of people in this world, you know, we have a perpetual cycle of trauma where people are abused and they become the abuser, and you have to look at it as a gift. And that's what I did with that. So I took it out and went, right, okay, cool. What can I learn from this spiritually and from a career perspective? I tried something that didn't work. That's okay. I mean, like, look at some of the greatest physicists of all time, mate. They've tried experiments in the field, but then you fail your way to success. So,
well, our whole careers, the amount of failures we have compared to wins is way more failures than wins. Like, yeah. In the grand scheme of things, if you know what I mean. Like, the amount of records we release that don't ever get released that are absolute failures. The amount of records we release that don't do that well. And realistically, although like I'm releasing more music this year and kind of changing up a little bit, but like in the last, from 2022 to 2023 going into 2024, like I've not had one single like successful record. I've had good records, but I've not had a successful record in my eyes. And I think still by doing 2 years of this industry where all of your peers, a lot of your peers around you are having extreme success on releases, it can get absolutely draining. It like talking to people on this podcast, like having huge successes, like I'm so happy for them. I wouldn't ever want that not to happen for them, but it's still draining when the amount of failures we go through as artists. However, that is what makes us make great music and come through the end of it if you just keep going.
Yeah, well said. And I mean, how do you personally combat that? How do you deal with it? Do you ever get to a point where you feel like you're questioning yourself as an artist? And
yeah, dude, every day. Every day sounds very dramatic. But I would truly say at least once a week, there's a day where I'm like, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
And I think part of that, I don't know, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Part of that is because at some point in that day, I'm probably subconsciously comparing myself to somebody else. But there's also, I've gotten way better at that over the years, but I think there's also subconsciously, it's like, is there, in a non-arrogant way, like, is the music that I make just not made to be heard by the masses? Is it just made for more of a niche where people are like, and that may come across arrogant, it may not. But I guess realistically, the thing that I was talking to my barber today about it actually. I know I'm bold, but get beard trims now and again. and he was like, what do you mean? Like from an outsider's perspective, it looks great. And I was like, yeah, like my career is amazing. Like between you and I, both of our careers are absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a finance thing. This isn't anything like that. However, for me, and I can only speak about this for myself, is like, for me, my goal is to just reach as many people as possible. And it's to create the biggest audience possible so they can listen to my music and I can help them with my music. They can listen to my music and they create memories in my music. Yes, the more people that listen, financially, the more people, the more you earn, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the thing that I struggle with sometimes the most is that we're all on lineups with some of the biggest artists in the world. And of course, like they should all be earning way more than me because they sell more tickets than me. For me, it's not the issue about having them on the same lineups and things like that. For me, there's not an issue, but it's the, how do I get there? We're literally like one line away from being at the top. And it's so close to being there, yet it's so far away to actually get there. And I think that's the really, really interesting thing is, especially where I'm at in my career, is I'm not the new kid on the block. I've been doing this full time for 10 years now, but been writing music for 15 years, been DJing for 20 years. So it's like, this isn't, you're not the new kid on the block. And I've spoken to a lot of people and it's really interesting. It's like that first like few years of your career is actually the easiest part. Like once you start releasing and you start having a bit of, you grow some sort of an audience and you have like a bit of hype around you, that's the easy part. But for me is like, once you've got to a certain level, how do you keep growing and how do you keep, how do you sustain that? And how do you get to the point where like, you can grow each year and for me it's not about the finance, that comes with the territory. It's about how do you reach a bigger audience, how do you reach a newer audience, how do you go into a different market, how do you like go to bigger venues, how do you do all of that? And realistically, nobody knows. There's no like one set way. Yes, big records. Like, look what's happened with you. But like, I can imagine where you're at now, and I don't want to put words into your mouth, but like, how do you feel about growth? How do you feel about moving forward and moving into different markets and the plan for that?
It's a great question. I'm glad you've asked it, because I was playing it hidden in Manchester. Have you played there?
No.
Mate, fucking unbelievable club, by the way.
Really?
Excellent club. That's, I can say why it was voted number one and by DJ Mark. Anyway, in the middle of my set, I had an epiphany pertaining to my music. And when I'm writing music or when I'm releasing stuff, it's this industry is a game of chess. Mm. Now, let me explain. So, you can get popular with a genre, right? And then you get pigeonholed in that genre. And when that genre dies, the likelihood is you're going with it,
yeah,
right?
Unless you're the creator.
Unless you are the pioneer,
yeah,
of it, right? So, I've been thinking of my future releases and where I'm going, I'm having a game of chess and which is the best route whilst also maintaining authenticity.
Yeah.
Now, that is the one thing I'd like to hammer home the most to anybody who's listening, is being authentic is the most important thing you can do, because you're standing in your own power. Only you can be you. You are one of one. So don't spend your time trying to be Joe Bloggs, because only you can be you. So I was thinking in my head, like, look, I've been going over this for a while, right? I want to make some alterations, but I need to be authentic. And I had my epiphany in the middle of my set on Friday, and I was just like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go too much into details, because that would be giving it all away. But I'm always thinking about that strategy. Do you know what I mean? Strategically. But it's, mate, there's so many factors. Like, one, be strategic. Two, make music that you like. Three, being authentic. Do you know what I mean? Because,
yeah,
I met this guy, right? I'll not say his name, when I was playing over in San Diego for New Year. First time I met the kid, really nice lad. And he was saying that's how his management are trying to make him to produce like this harder techno stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want to, just because it's popular at the minute. Do you know, yeah, what I mean? And he's like, I don't want to. And I says, like, look, mate, you have to be authentic to yourself and you've got to be happy. I went, if your management is saying that to you, then you guys aren't aligned and maybe that's not the right management for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's, you've got to have that healthy relationship and you've got to have the right people around you. But like, it's such a great point, mate. I've got lots of music coming, but I did decide that on Saturday, some of the style of music I've been releasing that I was planning on making, I'm only going to make one or two more tracks and then I'm done with it, because I want to move into something else. Not completely different, but just stuff that's more aligned with where I'm going. So it's a really pertinent question, because I think, you know, some people don't know where they're going, and then you have to think about the factors and stuff like this. And, you know, people who are popular today can be gone tomorrow. And I look, mate, when I was a raver and I was going every weekend, I grew up in the EDM era. Most of them artists are gone.
Yeah.
And they were massive, mate. They were, yeah, massive. And they just, when the genre died, they did as well.
Mm.
So, like, whereas with me, mate, I want to be here forever. Ultimately, I'd like to be where Calvin is. And,
yeah,
I've got great management who've ironed out the route to that. I can see the route to get there.
Yeah.
So I'm in a really good place, mate. I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. And is... frustrated as I was with the lack of releases last year, I know that everything that's happened and all the struggle I've been through, because, mate, my head's been boxed for a while.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, I literally just had my epiphany in the middle of me set. I know what I need to do and I know where I'm going. So everything's great. And I think, you know what it is, one of the best things we do as human is getting our own way.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just got to just let it flow. And, mate, honestly, I've been on such a journey, Will. Like, last year, like, I learned so much, like, who I am as a person through, you know, all the trauma and that, and getting things wrong and getting frustrated and having to overcome stuff. But I'm so grateful for all my challenges and obstacles. And I say that to the universe every day. Thank you for giving me challenges to overcome them because they make me evolve. And that is why we are here, to grow and evolve, mate. And growth's not easy. That's why everybody can't do it. Do you know what I mean?
100%. It's a hard kind of thing to go through, and especially when you're going through, you're doing stuff that you've never experienced before, and you're about to do something where you don't know the outcomes, or you can't kind of measure anything, and it's tough, man. It's really tough.
It is. And I think as well, though, mate, like for me, like I think the biggest feeling I felt last year was like I was being like left behind, because I told you, this person who it was like, I don't know how to follow up with this tune. I was like, well, what else have you got? Have you got a catalogue of music? Because you need to have somewhere to go. Because the first thing the labels are going to say is, what else have you got?
Yeah.
I'm sat on loads of stuff, mate. It's a nice problem to have, that I need to choose what I'm going to release because I've got that many that are good. And they said, because the market's fluid, he said, we can just see how it is at the time and then we can put stuff out. And he said, look, it's a nice problem to have. And like, I just want to say, like, I've got really good management, great agency. I've had some great mentors, you know, and Ben and Patrick, and they've given us loads of good advice. So like, I'm really, really grateful for that, because not everybody has that. But mate, honestly, like, I've been on such a journey, bro, in my head, because it's not easy. And this is the thing that pisses us off so much as well, about like fucking the old, like people online and that, man, they think they can just say whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
I went to school, I know people who killed themselves, man, because of abuse. And I'm like, do you know what? You said it so beautifully, right? You may not like something, but just keep it to yourself. And there's a good saying, and I love to stay by, if you've got nothing good to say, then just keep your mouth shut. Do you know what I mean? That's how, there'll be times where someone will send me something, and unless they're like looking for constructive criticism, say music wise, I'll give them feedback. But let's just say, like, I see something online like that I don't like, why am I going to waste my time just putting negative energy out? There's no point. There is no point. You get what you put out is what you get back. That is a law of the universe. It's how energy works. So, mate, you see, people, I just wish people would wake up. You're arguing with someone over the fucking cyberspace, so you don't even know, and you're never going to meet, and you're like, just sitting there getting wound up, and it's like, what, mate, we're here for such a short period, we've got this much time and space to do what we came here to do. Why the fuck are you wasting it talking to some random person on the internet who you don't know and you're never going to meet? What, your energy and your thoughts are so precious, just use them wisely. And look, that's what I'm like, I don't have all the answers, nobody does, but again, like what I learned from all the abuse I suffered last year, mate, it's like, anybody who is happy in their life, they don't give a flying fuck what you're doing. If someone goes out there and gives you abuse, it's because they're unhappy, or they're in a shit place, and that's how they're expressing themselves. So instead of looking at it with anger, I look at them, I feel sorry for them. Do you know what I mean?
100%, I also think people don't like change. And I don't think people like, I'm obviously massively generalizing, and I don't mean to, but I think genuinely, as human beings, change is an interesting thing. And especially with the music industry, it's changed a lot, and you're one of the reasons why it's changed. And especially in the electronic music scene, is moving all around changed the environment. And
that's very kind of you to say, then.
It's true, man. It's true. Like when Calvin Harris is saying he's taking inspiration from moving all around, like, and then he comes out with Miracle, which was one of the biggest records last year. And like, I think people don't like that. And I think people feel.
Sorry to interject. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I think people don't like new things happening, and I don't think people like change in the industry. And it's not just the industry; it's life. I think we're all. I really don't want to generalize. I don't want this to sound like I'm generalizing and kind of pointing at everybody, but I can only speak for myself. But like, change is hard sometimes, and like what we said, and I think especially in a market that we've all known for so long, what happened, COVID completely changed everything, completely changed how we consume music, how shows sell, like just everything. So I think it's very.
Can you, sorry, Will, because I think it's really pertinent information what you've just said, because you were around before and after COVID. Obviously, yeah. I wasn't. Could you go into a little bit more detail how you personally think it changed?
Yes. So like streaming with electronic music before COVID was like very consistent. Very consistent. There was a lot of on multiple platforms, DSPs, as in digital streaming platforms. Like yeah. it was often that you'd get a lot of support on them, and you could kind of guarantee that a record was going to do well or not based on the hype beforehand. If you got if you've got a lot of radio spins, you can guarantee that your record was probably going to stream pretty well. Social media. You could kind of guarantee what posts would do well, right? How people would buy tickets. I know it's kind of slightly different for the headliners now, but the headliners got bigger and bigger, and at the point where they're selling 15,000 tickets to like drum sheds or I don't know, street parties or things like that, and they sell really quick. However, the mid-tier DJs, where you used to be able to sell out really easily or way easier, like going into like the week of show, although eventually by the night you sell out, people aren't buying tickets up front as much. So it completely changed the market, because promoters, and it's still the same, a lot of promoters still worry so much and stress so much before a show. Where beforehand it was selling out, now it's not, and it's selling out on the night. So like, there's way more stress, and there's way more like, very like business. For me, like way more business minded booking. It's like, okay, this person sells out on the night of on the day of releasing tickets. We're gonna book them multiple times, rather than let's actually grow a community and let's build a scene and a community that is gonna last forever, last for the next 5-10 years, rather than. So I think a lot of things changed, and then what Patrick did with Trick, and kind of the genre change of what, like Patrick kind of started releasing, and then like Ewan McVicker came out with that, and that was a little bit more housey. I came out with Rock With Me, that was a little harder, and then you came out with Moving All Around, and it was something that I think a lot of the older artists had kind of heard inspiration from, right? A lot of people knew, a lot of the older artists knew where that inspiration was from, and didn't like it. And I think when older artists and older people that aren't really secure in themselves or in their artistic projects see a new kid on the block, they're ready to take that person down at any opportunity, which is so fucking sad. But they're the people, they're in those situations, that's the person that they need to look at themselves rather than look at what they're not happy with, because it's fucking music. Like, I think don't listen to it.
I think for me, the way I look at it is if you feel threatened by some new artist or new song, it's because you don't feel secure
exactly
as a person yourself.
Exactly.
It's just a reflection of your insecurity. So exactly. Again, it's you, instead of feeling angry, you gotta look at them and just say, like, I feel sorry for you that you feel that way. Like, I'm just, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think for me, my view on that though is, like, in my defense to that, like, there's a lot of music that I'm not a huge fan of, right? There's a lot of music you're not a huge fan of. Yep. But, like, if I see something that's doing well in the market, I want to talk to them. I want to know who they are as people. I want to learn, like, how it happened for them. Like, we can only learn from each other and learn from our mistakes. And I think it's just boring if you just do the same shit over and over again. And eventually everyone else gets bored of it, right?
Of course.
It's like, if you're not reinventing the wheel, if you're not...
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Doing interesting things. We all get stagnant. If we post the same post every fucking day, no one's going to pay attention after 30 days of you posting. If you're posting interesting shit every day, people are interested in you.
Of course.
It's a strange time. And I also think there's people after COVID, a lot of careers have just like fallen off. And I think,
I think
that's where people get jealous.
Why? But let me, how can I work? Because obviously I can't speak on it because I wasn't a part of pre-COVID.
Yeah.
But I have had that mentioned to us before by a certain person. And yeah, the way I would look at it is, well, why didn't you adapt to the situation?
Exactly. Exactly. And this is the thing, is that the only way, if somebody's career has fallen off, you can't blame anybody else. Like, I'm not blaming anybody else that my records haven't done that well in the last 2 years, right? I know I'm releasing good records. I love them. But I can't blame anybody else. I could literally get on my high horse and blame Spotify, blame the algorithm, blame social media, blame everybody else apart from myself, and go, rather than me go, well, that record didn't connect, on to the next, if you know what I mean. But like, you still have to push forward. You still have to be moving on in this industry. And a lot of people didn't. A lot of people just didn't adapt and didn't carry on going and thought, oh, I've been doing it for this long, I'm supposed to be booked, I'm supposed to have these records do well, I'm supposed to be having that, I expect this, I expect that. It's the wrong way to look at it. It doesn't happen.
Yes. I think, like, the way I remember, I think I learned it from 50 Cent a long time ago. He was on about, you got to up your game. Basically, you got to up your game and you've got to evolve. You either evolve or you die. And that's just the way, that's the way it works. Do you know what I mean? So I guess, you know, the world before COVID and after is, it's a different world. You might not like it, but you have to change with the times. Times change and so do people, as does music.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it is. And you've seen it time and time again. Well, like, you'll get, you know, the 1% of people who get tenure, so to speak, who will always be relevant.
Yeah.
But the others, you've got to fight. It's this market so competitive and saturated. You've got to be smart. You've got to try and pioneer if you can, or come up with something new. But I think the best advice I could give anybody is don't follow the crowd. I've got, like, and again, mate, that's why with me, mate, I'm a very polarizing person. I think I'm misunderstood by some people because they only see one perspective of me. But
that's fine. I like that. I think there's a level of, like, who understands every artist. Like, some of the biggest artists in the world, people can't stand.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing. Is like, look at Drake. Like, I'm not a fan of Drake at all. But you know what? There's 50 million people out there that love him. And that's great. And I'm happy for it. And I respect that. But I think for me, is like, being polarizing isn't an awful thing.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, but again, though, you know, just the time with what you were saying, you know, when you're all that polarizing and it's like you get loads of backlash and that, sometimes you look inside yourself and think, like, do I need to be a different person? And it's made people that they'll never fucking understand unless you get inside this game and that, and you think you can just be like, whatever. But you have to stay true to yourself. And
so how personally do you overcome things like that? Like, that's the thing that I really want to get into, because I think we all, like, I'll be very honest with you. I've had some things online that I've had to deal with, but like nothing to the extent that you've dealt with. And I I honestly have, like, I'm very fortunate that I don't have that, if you know what I mean. But how do you actually deal with it? Because I think it's very easy to blow it under the water and just say, oh, you just crack on with your day. But I know you fucking don't. So it's like for people that are going through that, that are listening to this, that are going through it in their lives, in their personal life, like not necessarily online, but like, how do you get through the days when you're dealing with shit?
That's a great question. And do you know what it is? Like, I love what you just said there. Like, some people just push under the carpet and they'll just say, oh, it's nothing. But basically, I'm not going to go too down the rabbit hole, but basically I grew up in the 90s. I grew up in a different world, mate. The world was totally different than what it was. So I'm no stranger to abuse.
Yeah.
Now, when I was, younger, I was subjected to a lot of people were, but, because I was singled out because of the colour of my skin and that. So I've had years and 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 years of it, right? So, but the way I looked at it is this, right? When I was younger, obviously my mind wasn't as developed, I struggled to fathom, and I'd always be like, oh, I didn't look the way I did. I'll tell you one story. One day I came home when I was a kid, right? And I said to my mum, I says, oh, I wish I was the same colour as my friend Andrew, who's my best mate. My mum, like, cried herself to sleep and that, because she thought she'd failed as a parent, right? But as I've got older and I've understood life, right, this is what I believe in, it, I feel it deep in my heart, is you choose to incarnate when you do for specific reasons, right? So you pick your parents. And this is how I overcame a lot of my trauma in my life, because my father left us when I was young. Yeah. And I realised if my dad had have been in my life, I'd be a totally different person, and I love who I am as a person. And as painful as those experiences were, that who made me as a person. So when I was getting all the abuse, people going, kill yourself and all this stuff, mate, and it's to the point where, like, you walk around in your own city and people are giving you shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, if I was a cunt, I'm sorry to say that, but if I was a cunt, right, then I'd be fair enough. Then
totally.
I'd be like, I know about that, then that's fine, but I'm not. So I'm like, you get that point, going, like, why are people treating us like this and stuff like that? But I looked at the deeper meaning. I'm like, why is this happening? So the way I look at it is, it's a trigger. Look at the deeper meaning. It's a trigger for trauma that I thought I'd dealt with that I hadn't, right? And I learned to love myself as a person. You know, we're not all perfect, and you do some things that are wrong and then you learn from them. So as an artist, mate, because we're in the public eye, and just like I told you, mate, people will sit behind the keyboards and like, everybody knows stuff about me, but nobody knows about the fucking shit that you've got in your closet. Totally. You're just praising the Lord that it hasn't come out.
Yeah.
How would you feel if it came out? But the way you gotta look at it is this: you can never please everybody, right? And there's always going to be people out there that don't like you. But the way I look at it is if you're getting hate, if you're getting hate and abuse off people, it's because you're doing something right and you're being successful. By that, what I mean is that if I start going out and start burning people in the street, that I'm not doing something right. By that, what I mean is there's a byproduct of success, and it's jealousy and it's abuse. So the way I look at it is I feel when someone gives me abuse, you can easily be triggered by it. But like, I don't engage with people who are like that, because if you're putting energy and time and focus into it, then you become like them. You come on their frequency, their energy level. So the way I look at it is like, just fucking block them out, see you later. I don't even waste your time on them, because look, mate, you could be here today and gone tomorrow.
I hear what you're saying, but I also challenge you on that, because it clearly has affected you.
Oh, of course it has, mate.
So I think for me, on going back to that question is like, how have you, rather than blocking it out, because yes, you are blocking it out, right? But how have you got to that process in your life where you can deal with it now?
It's just practice, mate. Practice, practice, practice. I mean, something else that I will allude to. I was just trying to actually find. I wrote this note in my phone.
Yeah.
That I'll see if I can. I don't know if I'd be. No, it'll come out. It'll come off, mate. If I try and find it in my notes. It's basically something that I wrote, a long time ago when I was going through some trauma. Right. And basically, you have to go within. So when I've been getting all that abuse and stuff like that, right? Like, me, it's not easy, especially when I was getting shit in me of people in my own belief city and that. And I'm like, you're like trying to walk about and do your own thing and that. And people are like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it could be me. I remember one time I was sat in a train station and I was on a way to a show and that. And there was this massive, massive group of people and that. And I was just like, oh, can it be fucking off? Because I guess, people can recognize us easily because of my haircut.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I felt quite vulnerable at the time because I was still overcoming something that was going on. But that fear that I would get, mate, I identified it as fear from my childhood, not fear from an adult. Does that make sense?
Totally.
It's the triggers, mate. Mm. But like I said before, you've got to look at your triggers as a gift because it's trauma you haven't dealt with. Now look, mate. I know some friends who've experienced unspeakable things, and it's easier for some than others, right? But the way you got to look at trauma is as much as you might not want to deal with it, it's like holding a balloon underwater. Eventually, it's going to pop back up.
Yeah.
So when I was getting abuse off people online, mate, like what I've done is, and it's took a long time, mate. Obviously, I do meditation every single day. And it's perspective, mate. Perspective in life is everything. It's like that good old saying, is glass half empty, half full, right? So when I'm getting abuse, right, the way I would look at it is I'll sit with myself and sit with these emotions and what am I being taught here?
Yeah.
Because this is the thing, well, like, look, there's no coincidences in this life. I could show you so many nuances that have happened in my life and I could prove it to you.
Yeah.
Right? Everything happens for a reason. So when I had them two major incidents last year, I was like, why is this happening? And I sat with myself and mate, it's been a fucking tough journey. It's not, it's fucking, mate, it's not easy, mate. And like you said, I know there's some people who would have crumbled.
Yeah.
Because, mate, when you've got all them people out there and everybody's talking about you and it's like, fuck. But it's the way you look at the information and it's, you know, that good old saying, I love that Rocky says, it's not about how hard you hit, it's how hard you can keep moving after you get hit or some shit like that or get back up or whatever. So I think ultimately, Will, because I don't mean to, I could talk about this subject all day, but I think because of my spiritual beliefs on the purpose of life, that is how I overcome it. Mm. Now, I know some people might be going, well, what the fuck do you mean, Shaquille? What I mean is perspective's everything.
Yeah.
So, like, I look at it as, okay, this is an obstacle that I need to overcome to take me to where I need to go, right? Yeah. Because ultimately, I want to be one of the greatest artists in the world. And I ask the universe every day to help me and assist me with that. So these things that have come into my life, they are taking me to my destination.
Totally.
So I look at it, mate, it's positive mindset is how I look at it. Is it easy? Is it fuck? But it's fucking, it's just practice, mate, and practice and practice and having good, mate, this is another thing that's critical, having good people around you to shield you. 100%. I've got a really good group of friends, mate, and my mom's my hero. She, like, when I was going through some shit last year, she could feel it energetically inside of her. And she was just like, she said to us and said, like, I hope you're okay and that. And, mate, like, I look at pain and demons, as some people will call them, in your head, as a gift, though, mate, because it makes you evolve and become even stronger so you get to a point where you're unfuckwithable.
Yeah.
And that, mate, that's the thing, mate. And it's like, have you ever met anybody who's a silver spoon and has never really had to overcome strife or struggle in their life?
Mm.
And you put them in a moderate situation and they just fucking drown. It's because it's that life experience, mate.
100%. And sorry to butt in there, but I also think there's the saying that the worst thing that's happened to you is the worst thing that's happened to you. And I think it's also in that meaning that you could have gone through the worst shit ever, yet somebody else's worst shit is like a daily occurrence for you.
Of course, mate.
And I think that's the that's the perspective as well, is that I think a lot of people forget is that a lot of people react on other people's reactions based on their own experiences and aren't looking at that we're all fucking human beings. We were all kids at one point. Some of us still are kids, and some of us respond and react differently to certain situations, whether or not it's the right way or whether or not it's the wrong way. And we all take things and learn things in different ways and different speeds. And I think there's a level of everybody holds everybody to their own expectations, yet no one else is living your life in the same way or has experienced the same things as any of us have experienced. So especially with the online stuff, just generally we're just so open nowadays compared to what it used to be.
Of course, mate. And this is another thing I want to mention. So like I've been doing some work with so the NSPCC, so I'm doing some work with them. And obviously, I don't know if you saw, I went and did a workshop with some students in a school last week and had a really, really stimulating conversation with the headmaster. And I was talking about like really pertinent subjects about the future of these children, because things are harder now for kids than they ever were.
Yeah.
And the thing is, well, if you've got shit with somebody in school, it doesn't stop at the gates now.
Exactly.
It goes back to your fucking house because of online, mate. And this is the thing, is, oh my God, technology is amazing. It's a tool, Lord. How's it utilised? It can be your fucking worst enemy or it can be amazing. And this is the thing, mate. And I think what you just said there, just to add a little bit onto it, is one saying that I've learned that I think it's really relevant, and that you can take this advice and use it in your everyday occurrences, is hurt people hurt people. So do you know what I mean? Like if you could come across someone who's like screaming at you in the middle of traffic and that, and you don't know what the fuck's been going on in their life, do you know what I mean? So I try and I'm very laid back. I'm not going to lie to you, Will. Like, I told you all the stuff that happened last year, mate. It's been hard.
Yeah.
But it's the perspective, mate, because I've looked within. Like, I've got some shit from my childhood I still haven't dealt with. And I think more than anything, mate, it's just that trigger again, mate. It's having that insight and that awareness, because I'm perspicacious because of me mum.
Yeah.
She always told us to look at the bigger picture. And there's some guys out here who are listening not everybody has that. So I just want to say to them, like, any of you that are going through some pain, and that your pain can be your greatest teacher if you allow it to be. It's not easy, but you're not on your own. Most people out there, they're all struggling, but some just hide their shit better than others. Yeah. And that is a fact. So you might see someone out there smiling, but they're just doing a better job.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hiding the shit from you. Do you know what I mean? And that's the thing. And then you get with you were talking about social media before, with music and that. The social media is designed to pit way against each other. And do you know what I mean? It's like, he's got this, I need that.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
So and also there's that level of, like, you know this. Like, you're a social media king, if you know what I mean. Like, some of the stuff you do is amazing, right? And I think it's, you from an outsider's point of view, you get the best of both worlds, or the best of one world and the worst of the other world, as in the abuse and also the success.
Yeah.
And I think you've seen both sides of it, which is very interesting. But again, it's so easy when you're at the beginning of your career to look at how, and even in, I can even say it for myself, like, even in where I'm at in my career, I know where you're at your career, like, we all do it, but we only show the good parts. We only talk about the wins on our social media. So all anybody ever sees when they come to our social media is the wins. Nobody talks about having a shit day. Nobody talks about, oh, my record I put out a month ago is only done 100,000 streams, which is in our like line where we're at, where we're, the amount of tickets we're selling, the amount of shows we're selling, has done terrible, if you know what I mean. Like, no one's talking about that. And I think that's the thing that I struggle with it the most, is that we've all had that. We've all had those experiences. We all have to deal with that every single day. But like, of course, we don't really talk about any of it as losers. It's only positive, and life's not always positive.
Of course, it's not. But again, I guess the way I can look at it is, oh God, this is kind of egregious to say, mate. But it's really illustrating my point about perspective. Okay, like I've just alluded to, I've got friends who've experienced unspeakable things, and they're trying to rationalize like why me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've said is look, when you came to this life, you've picked your parents to learn A, B, C. Think about it. Think about who you are as a person. Think about all your experiences have made you who you are. You need to look at it like a challenge. When you overcome this, you will have leveled up and evolved. That is the best. That's the best way I can describe it, mate. That's for me is how I'm able to overcome trauma, is because it's leveling up, mate. It's being challenged.
Yeah.
Yes, of course you can quit the game, mate, and unfortunately some people do and give up. And I hate to see people who had fucking dreams and they give up because of, you know, things that happen and traumatic things that happen. But it's believing in yourself and never giving up, mate. But you've got to really have a good support group. And like you were just saying there about the streams and stuff like that, you've got to know and believe in yourself. Like with me, as difficult as it's been, and but like I say, we're in a very privileged position, Will.
100%.
But, you know, but it's that hunger and that desire inside of us that drives us forward, and that's what makes you successful, right?
Yeah.
So some people be like, it's like a good old saying, like, who likes losing? Nobody likes losing. No. Who the fuck likes losing? Do you know what I mean? If you like losing, then why are you doing what you're doing in the first place? But like, I just know, because I know everything will work out. So I take my obstacles and challenges and I embrace them. I take this satchel of shit and own it. But like I say, mate, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, mate. It's very difficult, and I had some very, very low moments. But you get through it, and after every dark night, there's a brighter day after that. And you've just got to remember that the bad times don't last. But when you are and you're really in the depths of hell, that's when you need your support group. Mm. But again, though, Will, I know there's some people out there who might be listening, don't have that, and. Yeah. For those people who don't have that, look, my heart goes out to you. And the best advice I can give you is find people who can inspire you on the internet.
Totally.
I'll tell you one person who I love, Will. I'll tell you to give a look at him if you haven't already, is David Goggins.
Yeah, he's crazy.
He is fucking beast. Mate, man, like, he was talking about how people give him shit. I'm like, how the fuck can you give that man shit? And he says something so pertinent to what we're talking about. If you could walk on water, people would say you only walk on water because you can't swim.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? People are always going to complain. So for anybody out there, you might not have the support, but there's some fantastic humans in this world, and they can give you some amazing advice. Go online and find people that resonate with you and inspire you to change and give you that burning heart desire to push through. Because there's going to be times where you wake up and you're like, oh, fuck, I've woke up again, and you're disappointed. I've been there myself where I'm actually disappointed I've woke up. The thing is about this life, mate, it's a gift. That's 100%. Why it's called the present. But we spend our lives constantly worrying about the future and the unpredictability of everything. It's just this fast-paced fucking world, man. It's crazy, but it's just so important that you step back and take a minute and do what you want in life. Be nice to other people and think before you speak. Do you know what I mean, mate? Because
it's very simple. It's very simple. It's very simple. Realistically, it is. And I think it's like, hopefully a lot of people can learn from that.
I hope so, Will, and that's one thing. Eventually what I want to do is I'm going to build like a community center for the kids where I come from, so they have a safe place and environment to nurture the skills and meet people. And then eventually I want to build my own mental health foundation and teach people the tools to help combat the inevitabilities of life.
Yeah.
Because, mate, there's fucking... The government doesn't have the impetus to support people.
No.
They just haven't got the wherewithal at all, and it's really sad, mate, because if anyone who says they don't suffer from mental health at some point in their life, they're talking shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, yeah, I think it's also, it's just in, I can only speak for British culture because it's how I grew up, but I was fortunate mm-hmm. enough that my parents are therapists, but like, I think British culture is classically known to not talk about your feelings and not talk what you're going through, and I think that's the thing that needs to change generally in schools, and when that changes, you will see a healthier, you'll see a more caring society.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we are, as people, and we are changing and evolving. People are becoming better people, but there's still a lot of work we've got to do,
yeah.
Which is why I'm here, you're here. Do you know what I mean? And totally. I just sometimes I just get frustrated with people. I'm just like, ugh, fucking use your head more. But everybody's on their own journey. Do you know what I mean?
Everybody, man.
I wanted to ask you two questions, right?
Perfect.
If you could change anything in the music industry, what would you change and why?
I would change the ability of, that's a really hard question. I'm trying to think about there's a lot that I would change.
Feel free to speak, mate. I'm fascinated to get your perspective on what you know, if you were like, what do you call the genie in the bottle of Aladdin, and you could change whatever at a click of the finger, what would you change? I'm just really curious to see why, because you've experienced things that I haven't, mate, and you've got a really interesting perspective on life. So I'm just...
I would make it more about the music.
Yeah.
I think just before this podcast, I was listening to Rick Rubin, and obviously Rick Rubin can say all of this from a very, like... I really don't like using this word, but from like a privileged standpoint, because he has produced some of the biggest artists in the world, but he comes out with the audiences last. And for me, when creating music and the audience is looked at as last, I know it sounds very arrogant, but it's how music should be written.
Yeah,
in my eyes, and it shouldn't be about, for me, like, oh, is this gonna stream well, or is this gonna get on TikTok, or is this gonna hit the algorithm in a way, if you know what I mean? Or no, actually, we need to take out this section because streamers don't like this and things like that. And I think for me is like, I might sound like an old man saying this, but there's records out there that are 6, 7, 8 minutes long outside of the electronic music world that have been around since the 60s that still stream very well, that still do very well. And that was purely based on just a few people writing music in a studio, not thinking about the audience. That's one thing I would change. However, in argument against that, it's the music industry. And when it comes to industry, the audience gets thought about, sadly. That's the one. There's lots of other things I would change. I would change people getting booked based on their quality of music. And that's purely an opinion, right? It's purely... Mm-hmm. It's purely a promoter's opinion, and they're allowed to have their own thing. But I'm really not into this tick boxing that's happening at this moment in time. There's plenty of people from all ethnicities, all walks of life that have great music, and a lot of lineups now are just purely tick boxes, and it's so hard to see, like, when there's so many amazing artists out there that just don't get a look in purely because there's somebody else that ticks the box that just is easier to get to. It's everything's just a lot less work. It feels like a lot less digging into like actual quality. That's what I would change. What would you change?
I hope I'm allowed to say this. If not, you're gonna have to take it out your podcast, mate, right? And I'm speaking strictly on the UK circuit because I think it's only really a problem in the UK. So I've asked multiple DJs, multiple promoters, what is the biggest problem on the dance floors? And nobody, well, not many people are talking about the big elephant in the room. People will say mobile phones. I've not got a problem with phones, mate, because it's free promotion. And also, do you know as well, it's a good indicator if someone's working because they'll pull the phones out.
Of course.
So you, do you know what I mean? So you're like, oh, they're really digging this, because you might not necessarily be able to see their faces because they're far away. So you can, you know, when you see that torch go up, you know, some people like it, right?
Yeah.
So I haven't got a problem with phones, right? And the biggest problem is drugs.
Yeah.
And it's a certain drug, which is ketamine, right? And now by that, what do I mean is when I was a raver, and I used to go out like 10 years ago in the EDM days, mate, we weren't taking ket, and the energy levels were just through the roof, man. Yeah. All night long, mate, ket is a fucking tranquilizer. And I'm like, for me, mate, you just get people who are just, they'll end up going in a keyhole and it just obliterates the energy. But the maddest thing is, mate, I've had DJs who went like, oh, that was a horrible set because nobody was dancing. Then the next day on TikTok, they're like, best set ever.
Yeah.
So for me, it's obliterated the energy on the dance floor. And but the thing is, it's really prevalent in the UK. If you go out to America and that, mate, what I've realized, mate, the drug culture is nowhere near as egregious as it is in the UK, mate. And it's time after time after time after time. Ket for me, because it's become the predominantly main drug on the dance floor. There's always going to be drugs, mate. There's always going to be drugs. But because ket is the number one now, mate, it's just turning people into zombies, and I fucking can't stand it. And I'm like, why are you here?
Yeah. It's very strange to me. I don't play much in the UK, and when I do, I notice it massively.
Oh my god!
I remember playing in. It was actually for a trick. I played a party somewhere, and I played the day party, and there was a night party. So I played the day party, went and got dinner. Day party was sick because it was like a bit of an older crowd. It was like people that wanted an earlier night. It was fucking amazing. Loved it. The energy was amazing. And then I came back to the night party and it was just full of people on ket. And I was just like, there's no atmosphere at all, like nothing. And it just looks flat and there's no response. There's no peaks and troughs. And like, I don't want every record to be a massive banger. I don't want every drop to be the biggest drop in the world. Like, I think there needs to be peaks and troughs.
Peaks and troughs.
But like, And those troughs need to be like people not vibing with it or just in a groove. That needs to happen in a club. But realistically, it was all troughs. And that wasn't based on the DJ. That was purely based on ketamine.
Mate, this is the thing. There's just so many people who aren't talking about it, and it's like, fucking come on, just speak the truth, which is why I'm saying what I'm saying now. When I've said this vocally to my friends and other DJs, and they all concur with what I'm saying, a ket is destroying the dance floors, specifically in the UK, because, mate, as artists, as performers, I feed off people's energy.
Yeah.
It sounds demonic when I say feed. I vibe off people's energy.
Yeah.
Right. So when someone's standing there in the fucking comatose, I'm like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I was playing in Wales and I watched this kid standing at the front. He looked like he was having a stroke, man. And because obviously I don't drink, I had a bottle of water and I was pointing. I was like, water, do you want some water? Do you want some water? His mates reached behind him, like underneath his armpit with Jack Daniels and Coke, right? And he's tipped it down him, and the kid didn't even drink it. He just slopped it all down him, and then he got took away.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, for me, mate, like, when I look at where I've come from, like, as a raver, as a punter, to being a performer, I mean, the energy levels back then, and the music's faster now. It's got even more energy. Back when I was going out, mate, the fastest the track would be is 130, 132.
Yeah.
Now, mate, you're going up to 160 plus. But people are just, honestly, that's the one thing I would change is fucking getting rid of that because it's just destroying the dance floor. And to me, it makes no sense because it is a disassociative. You're filtering your reality. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So that's for me. The second question I wanted to ask you is, if you could change anything in the world, what would you change and why?
Oh, I'd love, there's a lot that I would change in the world. The fact that kids are still starving to death, it just kills me, like on a regular, especially when we see how we're very fortunate in the Western world. But the fact that during this conversation that there's God knows how many kids that have died purely due to starvation, which is purely due to governments not being able to control their country and run their country and being greedy. It's just amazing to me how fucked that is. That's what I would change. You?
Yeah. Ooh. Me, again, like you, there's lots, but like, I think if I had to pick one thing ultimately is for the truth to be told about everything.
Yeah.
The veil, for the veil to be lifted up, because we're just fucking lied to every day about everything. Mm. More people are starting to wake up, but yeah, mate, just for fucking the truth is what I would. I'm a truth seeker and a light warrior. So, like, for me, that would be it, because humanity, from a conscious perspective, we would change like that in an instant, and we would grow as people. And that, the thing is, mate, once we all start thinking differently, the world would be a different place. So that, for me, that kind of like covers all bases.
Yeah.
If we saw it for what it really is, and people just changed, mate. But like, do you know what it is? That's just when I sit and look at people who they are in different stages of their development, but they just can't read between the lines and see things for what they really are. Mm. And they're just caught up in this rat race and pitted against each other. And, oh God. I mean, it's difficult, you know, but
it's a tough one.
We're in a privileged position where we can, look, mate, this is what I've said. I don't know how much time I've got on this earth, but in the time that I'm here, I want to help as many people as I can in the hope that I'll contribute to changing the world and making it a better place.
You will, man. You will. Keep it up. I think that's a perfect way to end this. You have a new single out called Got No Money.
Got No Money.
Featuring Vula, who is great. Vula.
She's been.
How can people follow you? How can people get involved on the Shaq train? Hit me with it.
So I'm on obviously all socials, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and obviously Spotify and all streaming platforms. So if you just look me up, you'll be able to find my stuff. I've got loads of stuff coming this year. Like last year was very quiet, but like this year I've got loads of big records coming. So stay tuned. And I just want to say to every single person out there who's listening, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen. Thank you so much for spending your hard-earned money to come and see me at my shows and sit and streaming me music, because without you guys, I wouldn't be sitting here with this amazing human. So thank you very much, guys. And I'll catch you next time.
Big love, man. Thank you so much for coming on, and I will see you very soon.
Anytime, my man.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.